heart.
This message just keeps carrying over, and it's not because I'm adding things to it. The Lord gave me this message all at one time. And there are some other things he adds a little bit along the way during the day, each day as I meditate in these scriptures and listen to him. But there's 9 points, if you will, in this message, 9 reasons why the Christian must take up their daily cross. And they're vital to your life as a saint, because if you don't take up a daily cross, then you really have no relationship with the Lord, only except in your mind, not your heart. And the Lord told me yesterday morning on the way to work, or it might have been the night before last at home, I was meditating on the way to work yesterday morning, that grace demands a cross. Grace demands a cross. There is no, and the biggest, the most important word I feel like the Lord has given this body and those who are blessed enough to be able to hear what comes forth from this body is this: God's grace is God at work. That will bring a lot of things in the scriptures to a better understanding when you know that God's grace is God at work. And God's grace is what carried Christ to the cross. The Bible says in Hebrews 2:9, by the grace of God, Jesus tasted death for every man. And it's at the cross we see the grace of God at work in something that it appeared he had left, got away from. Amen. So when it looks like, even in the last of the last few minutes, when the world surrounds Israel and the world has them backed up into a mountain, and it looks like it's over, it appears like the Bible's not going to be true after all. It's over. They're going to destroy Israel completely, and the grace of God is going to appear from heaven and stand on that mountain. And I'm going to tell you what, the grace of God can split a mountain. I'm talking about Jesus. He's our grace. Hallelujah. He's our grace. And the grace of God at work in our lives, it's not always preaching with power. It's not always doing this that God's called us to do with power. Sometimes the grace of God is at work when it appears is not. The cross, let me say it again, is your best example of that. So many people quit. They leave God because times get hard, because they don't understand what grace really is. And if they ever learn what grace really is, they will learn that it is sufficient, because it is God Himself at work on your behalf. When God told Paul, "My grace is sufficient for you. Don't think about the thorn. My grace is sufficient for you." He was telling Paul, "Me at work in your life is all you'll ever need. Me doing what I'm doing in you and through you is all you will ever need, and then some." Hallelujah. So on the bad days, we don't live by what it feels like. We don't live by what it looks like. We live by grace through faith. Just like we came in, we walk through and we leave this place. Oh, just like we came in, we walk through and we leave this place. And it's very important that we pay attention to what God is teaching us in these last days. It's got to be more than just a church thing, and I've got a good cross preaching church. It's got to be, I'm coming to hear, I'm coming to learn so that God can perform. Yeah, that's another powerful thing we've learned here this year, is that God, the way grace operates, the way God operates is only one way. He speaks, you hear and believe, He performs. We don't perform. He speaks, we hear. See, He starts it, He speaks, we're in the middle, maybe. I'm in the middle. He speaks, I hear and obey, He performs. See, He longs to perform His word. That's what He's performing, His word. He's not performing for you putting on a show. He's performing His word in you. If you will allow Him by believing, then He will prosper His word in you. Praise God. So we started out the very first message, which, by the way, was way back December the 2nd. And some of these messages are preached in Wake Village, so there won't be a video, but there are CDs for all of them. If you've missed any, you have access to all of them either on our www.thecrosswaychurch.com website or my Spreaker account site that you can go to and hear the ones that are being preached in Wake Village, or you can just get the CDs. And so we just thank God for what He's doing. The first message just talked about what it means to take up your cross. It's so important. Most of the church doesn't have a clue about that. Taking up your cross is your simple, exclusive faith in the cross of Christ. Nothing else. You don't have a cross of your own personal, laying on the ground at night outside, laying on a hard bed without a pillow, not eating every other day. And that's not your cross. That's not your cross. Your cross, there's only one cross. And you were crucified on it with Jesus. He will never come back to a cross, but you're required to take yours up every day. You know what that really is saying? You're required each day to remember what He did for you and keep your faith in that alone. That is taking up your cross daily. And without that, you can't be a disciple. But with it, guess what you can be? A disciple. A lot of times we sit and listen to messages like this and we hear the preacher always talking about what you can't do and what you can't have and what you can't be without a cross. But you need to always turn that around and see what you can be, what you can have, and what you are because of the cross. Don't just hear the negative part of that about a backslidden church out there that can't be a disciple and can't be a partaker and can't do this and they can't walk with God. Think about you yourself, because you are taking up your daily cross. You are a disciple. You are partaking of the Lord. The devil cannot devour you. Hallelujah. There's a good side and a bad side. I'm on the good side because I have chosen. I said, I have chosen to put my faith in what Christ did for me alone and trust in nothing else. And so after we explain that in part one about what it means to take up your cross, then we begin to go through these reasons why it's so important that we have to do that. The first one was because Jesus said to. If He told you to do something, if you don't do it, you're in trouble. Bad things are going to happen to you if you don't do what Jesus told you to do. And He told us if we're going to follow Him, we have to deny ourselves, take up our cross, and follow Him. Nobody's following Jesus without a cross. So all of Christianity out there that refuses to come and hear the message, they don't want to care about the cross, they don't need that anymore, they emphatically, absolutely are not disciples. They've fallen from the place of discipleship. Then they cannot learn, they are not partaking of the Lord, the enemy is devouring them. Amen. Jesus told us to do it. The second reason was, through the cross and the cross alone is our salvation and daily sanctification made possible. There is no maturity and growth in the body of Christ without a cross. None. It's all make-believe and games and imaginative. A religion is all it is. Psychology and man's religion is all it is. Without a cross, it's man working. Amen. And so when we're preaching and teaching these messages, you've got to understand where we were at, we couldn't grow. Where we were at before this revelation came to walk in this, to take up your cross, we couldn't grow. We couldn't learn. The enemy was chewing a hole in our purse and nothing would stay in it. Lost my house, my land, my vehicles, and anything else that came, the enemy would chew a hole in the back because he was a devouring without a cross. Number three is because we wrestle against principalities and powers, rulers of the darkness of this world and spiritual wickedness in high places. There's an enemy out there and there's a horde of his army trying to just wreck your life, kill you, destroy you and your children, your marriage, and everything about you. And without the cross, you ain't got a chance against none of them. Not even the weakest one, you hadn't got a chance. If we team up together, we don't have a chance. The cross is what defeated them. The cross is what resists them. Nothing else. Not music, Not anything. All these folks today just want to gather in a church because the music makes them feel good. Let me remind you, if that's why you're listening to Brother Swaggart and them for the music and you turn it off when the preaching comes on, you better remember Saul and the demonic activity in Saul's life was tamed down when David played, but Saul was never saved. And I know people right now having a bad day, they'll just turn the music on, and the music makes them just kind of relax and feel good. Those are people who live by feelings. Now, don't get me wrong. You can turn the gospel music on. But even at that, if your faith is not in the cross, it don't matter what you're listening to, music gonna make you feel good. But God didn't come to make us feel good. He come to crucify us. Because there won't be one old man in heaven. There won't be one old man in heaven. We're unrehabilitatable. That's a big word. I can't spell it. We cannot be rehabilitated. Only the new man makes it into heaven. Number four was, without the cross, the enemy can devour the saint. You're as good as devoured without the cross. The devil right now is devouring the church. 99.99999% of it. You got people out there talking negative about me, saying every time I say that, he don't know what he's talking about. That's not true. I'm telling you, are they preaching the cross? No. Then the enemy's devouring them. He's eating them up alive. And as I said Sunday morning, or Sunday night, I don't remember which one it was, but the devil devouring folks doesn't always look like sickness and lameness and all these things. Man, it could just be religious folk that think they got it going on, and he's devouring them. What about them people that show up on Judgment Day and said, didn't we do this and didn't we do that? He'll say, I don't know who you are. Why don't he know them? Because the devil was devouring them. Amen. Titus says this. They deny God by their works. All my life I thought that was dope smoking, drinking, drunkenness and all that. No. If we trying to work our way in instead of faith in Christ's work on the cross, then we're denying God. Just think about all those people out there who think they're going to heaven because they're water baptized and that work. They're denying God in that act. The only way that we don't deny God is by receiving what God did in the cross in His Son. Number five, without the cross, there's only spiritual blindness and darkness. I encourage you to hear that message. I believe it was last Sunday night in Wake Village. The Lord and I really got after it in Wake Village. It was a powerful message. I'm probably going to listen to it again. But without the cross, there's only spiritual blindness and darkness. Amen. Jesus said in John 8:12, then spoke Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that follows me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Did you hear that? He that follows me, what's he got? A cross, or he's not following him. And if he's following him, only people who are following him have taken up their cross. Exclusive faith in his cross. Not trusted in anything else. Ignorance, it don't matter. Ignorance, God doesn't wink at ignorance. If we're ignorant, the devil's going to devour us. We're not following Christ. We're going to church. We may be reading the Bible. We may be praying. But we're not following Christ, because you can't do it without a cross. Church doesn't like this kind of preaching. I know they're probably going to send me to heaven. Hit me in the head one day. They don't like this because we like knowing that what we're doing counts for everything. Amen. So number six tonight is where we are. Without the cross, there is no partaking of the Lord. There is no daily bread. Without a daily cross, there is no daily bread. You understand that? Without a daily cross, there is no daily light. Without a daily cross, there is no daily fellowship with God. I don't care who, big name, Mr. Brother, preacher, pastor, evangelist, apostle, whoever comes along and says, whatever they say, they have no fellowship outside of a cross. That means faith in His cross alone for everything. Amen. Even those of us who are in the kingdom, we're saved, born again, headed to heaven because we truly believed in the work of Christ. And now I hear preachers talk about, well, they just didn't know it for sanctification. If they didn't know it for sanctification, they didn't have no fellowship. They were fellowshipping with just what they had going on, and it looked like regular old church. I might have to take his jacket off. Y'all making me hot tonight, looking at me like that. Listen, don't ever fall prey to a preacher or the name of a preacher. Don't ever do that. People all the time try to tell me that God blessed them all those years that they tithed and gave offerings, even though they were in a church that never preached the gospel. I'm going to tell you what, God didn't give you that. God didn't do that. God said he'd open the windows in heaven over those that bring the tithe and offerings into the storehouse, that there might be meat, and the meat's Christ. Amen. I'm sorry for those people that try to get up and say that. They're still a part of the problem that the church is today. You mean to tell me, brother, that these preachers that say they didn't know it for sanctification, well, the only way that we can have daily bread is if we're partaking through faith in the cross of Christ. That's the only way. What do you think Jesus meant when he said, if you don't eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no life? Amen. Praise God. If you'll look at John chapter 6, verse 53, we'll try to make it through this tonight quickly. John 6 and 53, the Bible says, then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, except you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Are we all right back there? Whoso eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life. That means whoever's faith is in my cross, what I came to do. Doesn't mean anything else. It can't mean anything else. Nothing. Doesn't mean, can't mean anything else. Whoso eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eats my flesh and drinks my blood dwells in me, and I in him. Now, when you get over into John 15 and you talking about and you hear him saying, you have to abide in me, and that word means to continue, the only way that you can continue to abide in something is if you're doing what you did to begin to abide. And what was that? Faith in his cross. You partook of Jesus through faith in his cross. You ate and you drank. That is the spiritual drinking and eating of the Lord, not like the nut house we used to be in, where they just, some prophet come to town, put his hand on you and say, oh, drink, 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 drink. See, the church wants that stuff because they can see it. They can feel something. But the truth, they don't want that. He that eats my flesh and drinks my blood dwells in me and I in him. Verse 57, as the living Father has sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eats me, even he shall live by me. The Bible says we live by faith. So if we live by what Jesus said, eating him, and it's not a one-time eating, because Jesus said, take up your cross daily. Amen. It ain't a one-time meal, and that's it forever. Uh-uh. When you first partook, you had eyes to see, you entered the kingdom, you were born again, but you were required to take up your cross to keep going. You can't go any further. That's why so many Christians have gotten saved, and that's right where they are. That's right where they are. They don't know the truth. They're not learning the truth. And that's why so many of them get out and just quit, because they never went any further than hearing this great message and receiving it with joy. But when they went back to work, and after they went to church a few times, and it just was nothing but a social gathering, They didn't keep hearing the power of God. And most of these churches out there today, they're not really preaching the power of God, the message of the cross, but they got one or two people that go there who really love the Lord, who minister to people off on the side, and what's getting them saved, if there's a getting saved. Amen. You know, brother so-and-so who is holy, he loves the Lord. There's one or two in all them churches, you know. They really love God. And they know the truth. You know what I'm talking about. When they're out there ministering to the people, they know the answer. But it ain't coming from up here in the pulpit. It's a problem. The Christian's partaking of the Lord is done exclusively through faith in His cross, and this can only be experienced through the taking up of our cross daily. Let's make sure we understand what that means. Taking up our cross is not just words. It's not just something we imagine. The cross is a place of death. That means we continue to look at Romans 6. We reckon ourselves dead daily to sin. Amen. When Jesus is teaching the disciples how to pray, and right in the middle of that prayer, He says, "Give us this day our daily bread." That's a revelation of Jesus. He claimed to be the bread of life. And to have a revelation, to be walking and growing in the revelation of Jesus, means that you are eating, you are partaking. The Holy Spirit is revealing truth to you. Amen. I know it's in the middle of the week and it's dark and y'all may be tired, but so am I. Glory to God. I'm excited tonight though. It's a daily thing. It's a walk. It's a race, man. It's a walk. It's a race. It's not something we just did one time and that's it. That's what most of the church thinks. Well, I walked an aisle or I said a prayer, and their faith is in those very acts. Because if their faith is still in Christ and what He did at Calvary, then there's going to be a hunger and a seeking there. If that faith was ever real, there's going to be a hunger and a seeking there. And if it's there, God's going to find it. And you know what He's going to do when He finds true faith? He's going to show up and begin to work in their life. He's going to give them grace. He's going to give them Himself. Note in the following scripture, which is Revelation 3, 20 through 22, we're going to look at next, that to be able to overcome, the church must be able to sup, which means partaking of the Lord in the only way that He can be partaken of, which is through exclusive faith in His cross. Revelations 3. Now I'm going to show you something that's really caught my eye this week in this scripture. I had these scriptures here, but then I noticed something about these two scriptures I'm going to share with you here tonight. Revelations 3 and 20, a popular scripture. Jesus said, now this is to the church. This is not just to the world. This is a letter to the churches. And He says, "Behold, I stand at the door." At the door. Remember that. "I stand at the door and knock. If any man will hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him." That means fellowship. "And he with me. To him that overcomes," who is him that overcomes? Him that opens the door and begins to sup with the Lord. This alone tells me that not everybody's going to overcome. Because not everybody's going to get up and open the door. Not everybody is going to recognize what needs to happen. And some people are just going to reject what's at the door. When He says, "I'm at the door," He is talking about the sacrifice that I am unto you. Not just a man with brown hair, a Jew with brown eyes, just a man there. No, "I am the sacrifice that was given for you. Behold, I am at the door." That's what's at the door, the truth about who He is and what He did at Calvary. That's why the church is inside somewhere and He's having to knock to get back in, and they think they got it going on in there because they've got another Jesus in there. They've got their own thing going on in there. That's Ken Copeland, and not just that word of faith, but there's a whole slew of folk got their own Jesus going on. And He's trying to get in. He wants to get in. But it's the truth of the sacrifice, the truth of redemption and the atonement that's standing there knocking at the door. The sacrifice is at the door. That's what God told Cain. Is not the sin offering at the door? It's at the door. It's at the door. It's available. He says, "Behold, I stand at the door." That means the sacrifice is at the door. All you need to be able to sup with me, fellowship with me, to be an overcomer, is to know who I am and what I've done for you. That's why the church cares more about their music, their lights, their smoke, Jesus is outside knocking to get in. They don't want to talk about the sacrifice. A great example in our nation is that Olsteen kid down there in Houston who's got their own thing going. And Jesus ain't nowhere in that place. He's knocking. He wants in, but they won't preach the cross. They won't preach against sin, he says, because it'll offend people. Well, how many of you know God's offended at that? And it's better for man to be offended and God be pleased than the other way around. So let us remain faithful. When you were in your mess, when we were in our religious mess out there, and we weren't mean people, and we were just confused and didn't know. And the devil was trying to lead us down every path of destruction, make us look down this path, and just every wind of doctrine that came through town, the devil was just trying to get us to eat and go down that path. And pretty much we did a little bit to some degree. But the Lord showed up. And it was in some chaotic, dramatic, hard, pressing, stressful times. But in those times, there was a faithful knock at the door. Knocking on the door. And you know what? That knock came through a radio station. That knock came in an old barn in Atlanta. That knock on my heart. I'm at the door. If you'll open your heart to this truth, if you'll receive who I am and what I did, we can sup together and you will be an overcomer. You will overcome. Only those who carry a cross will overcome. Only those. That's why it's not just what's called Christianity. It's disciples that overcome, because only disciples take up a cross. And there is no overcoming outside of a cross. There is absolutely no overcoming. Now, I know America has changed everything and we're so fleshly and we think it's the business owners, the dignified ones who go to the denominational church and they all gather there because they're somebody and they think that they're just really leaders. You got your businessmen teaching Sunday school, not because they know the truth, not because they walk with God, but because of their status in the city. They've got money. They've got a status in the community. Therefore, they let them teach the Bible on Sunday morning, the Bible class, because if they're teaching, we'll have a crowd. Let me tell you something about the cross, folks. It's a place of death. It's a place of humility. It's a place of dreary looking. Who wants a part of that? Who wants to be a part of that? They looked at John the Baptist and said, if he was of God, he wouldn't be out there wearing camel hair and living in the wilderness. He'd be in here with us. We're the ones. The cross. Everybody wants to talk about grace. Let me just remind you what the Lord showed me this week. Grace demands a cross. You'll not get 1 ounce of grace without a cross. I'm glad you're sitting there looking like that. Takes that sometimes. Wait a minute now. I've been calling stuff grace that wasn't grace then. Let me tell you something, and I've made this comment before, and some folks just looked at me like a puppy hearing a shrill sound. It wasn't God's mercy. It's not God's mercy that's out there keeping the world. Even though they're lost, it's God's long suffering. There is no mercy without the blood. Mercy comes through the blood. Faith and grace come through the blood. Long suffering is for all. God's long suffering. He's waited for centuries for every man that will believe to finally believe. And even those who are not ever going to believe who are here, His long suffering, He's allowing them to live. You see, they get mercy when they confess and forsake their sin, Proverbs 28:13. That's the prosperity of God. So, Jesus is at the door, and the supping with Him can't take place without faith in the cross. So anybody who doesn't want to hear about the cross, anybody who doesn't want to preach the cross and share the cross, is not supping with my Lord. and he's knocking on their door. We're either supping with the Lord through faith in the cross, or he's knocking on the door wanting to get back in. Genesis 4, 5 through 7. Let's look at this because it's kind of parallel to this at the door statement. Genesis 4 and 5 says, "But unto Cain," and you know this story, "Cain and Abel brought a sacrifice." You saw what happened. God was not pleased with Cain's, but he was Abel's, and more than likely, the Bible doesn't say it, but back in those days, God sent fire on the sacrifice he was pleased with. It lapped it up, and that didn't happen to Cain's, and it proved he was displeased with Cain's. He says in verse 5, Genesis 4, 5, "But unto Cain and to his offering he had no respect, and Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell." He went into the big lip club. Woe is me, victim. "And the Lord said unto Cain, why are you wroth?" See, God shows up. God's intention is to save everybody on the planet. Did God know Cain was going to kill Abel? Yes, he did. God already knew that. He knows everything, but he still moved in to try to get involved and give him an opportunity. You see that? "And the Lord said unto Cain, why are you wroth, and why is thy countenance fallen? If you do well, shall you not be accepted?" That means if you offer what your brother offered, which is what I told you had to be offered, you'll be accepted. If you choose any other way, you won't be. And he says, "And if you do not well, sin," that means the sin offering, the sacrifice, "lies at the door." There was a place designated there. God had already showed Adam and Eve how this had to happen. If you want to have a relationship with me, fellowship with me, if you want to get back in communion with me, then you have got to sacrifice an innocent animal to have that relationship, to have that fellowship. There's none outside of that. If your faith is really in the promise that I've given you, the seed of the woman coming to crush the enemy's head one day, then and you want to have a relationship with me, it's going to be through that promise and your proof that you believe it by sacrificing an animal for your sin. And look at what the Bible goes on to say. He says, "If you do well, shall you not be accepted? And if you do not well, sin," which means the sin offering, "the sacrifice lies at the door, and unto thee, unto you, shall be his desire, and you shall rule over him." That's talking about him being the firstborn. It was God's intention that every firstborn son be the carrier of the lineage of the Messiah. And you know what? There are people like Cain and Esau who said, "I ain't really worried about that." Really? Really, Cain didn't say, "I ain't worried about that." Esau wasn't. He didn't care about that. Now, Cain, on the other hand, he was wroth and he was saddened because he wanted that. God knew that. That's why he told him, "And unto you shall be his desire, and you shall rule over him." Talking about his younger brother, because you're the firstborn, and Cain wanted that, but Cain refused to do it and go God's way. "I want it, but I'll not do it your way, God. Matter of fact, I'm just going to go over here and I'm going to do it my way. I'll kill my brother and then I will be the only one." You see, that's man's way and it never works. The only way that works is God's way. And it's through the sacrificer. It's not God's way. If things aren't working for your life, my friend, you need to come back to Calvary. And if you can't come back to Calvary, it's because you're still trying to do it your way. You still think you've got just enough strength to get it done, just enough gifting, just enough ability. And I'm telling you, you're just digging a hole deeper than you can ever get out of. The cross is the only way. Esau, he wasn't worried. "I don't want it. I don't care. I'll sell my birthright for a bowl of soup. I could care less." Now, Cain, he wasn't that way. He wanted to rule over his brother, but he would not do it God's way. And let me tell you something. We want to rule. It's in us to rule. God put us here to rule, and we're going to rule. And if we are ruling under the headship of God, it's going to be through grace, because it's grace that reigns. Amen. We want to rule. God intends on us ruling. That's why he put Adam here to rule, to have dominion. And he had it as long as he allowed God to have dominion over him. And when he sinned, God came back on the scene. And you know what he did? He gave him the way to let God have dominion back over him again. And let him surrender to God's dominion over him. See, that's what the cross does. The cross, that when we say, okay, Lord, I'm surrendering to you. It is your way. I'm tired. I'm weary. I'm heavy laden. I'm burdened. I'm sick of this. I'm coming to your way. I'm just giving you everything. I'm believing in the cross of your Son. There's where you did it all for me. All. And you're surrendering to his headship, his leadership, his sustenance for you daily. Because those who won't submit to the cross are still trying to lead their lives. But we have dominion again, and I'm not preaching kingdom now, dominion, that garbage, because we're not there. And we're not going to be until Jesus comes back. But what I am saying is this, through the cross, grace reigns in our lives, and we are priests and kings in the kingdom of God. Where are we at? We got 10 minutes. We need to understand that it is a daily battle. It is a daily fight to be able to deny ourselves and take up our cross. But the Lord is there to help us do it each and every day. We don't do anything in our own strength. We don't do anything. All we have to do is believe, and we have all the strength we need. Even on days it seems like we're weak, the Lord promised. He shows up and says, listen, I know you're feeling weak. I know you're feeling not up to this, but listen, in your weakness, my strength will be made perfect because my grace is sufficient. It's more than enough. Amen. On days it seems like this can't be right. I know you told me to do this, Lord. I know you're leading me this direction, but it can't be. Lord, why is this happening? I'm going to tell you, he's going to tell you the same thing he told the Apostle Paul, my grace, who I am and what I've done for you on that cross and what I'll do to you for you today through your faith in that is more than enough. See, your faith is the victory. Not your outcome and through something and breakaway. No, that's the manifestation of the faith that you had and God working in that. It's already victorious. You're already victorious. Your faith is the victory. Amen. It's not. It's not what you have. It's not breaking through things, although we do break out of bondages by the power of God. We break through things. But let me tell you something. It was the faith you already had. It was faith. So we need to remember, there's no partaking without a cross. You may want to partake. You know everybody that wants to go to heaven's not going? I mean, if that's the most obvious thing they want, and that's what they're living for, they devote their whole life to talk about going to heaven, and they want that more than anything else in the world, if they don't come God's way, they're not going. Tears won't get them there. You know, some people think just because they're crippled all their life or they've had a hard life that that's what's going to get them into heaven. It ain't. The worst life of all, whoever that might be, cancer stricken 40 years and suffering, just never could live like everybody else, never had a healthy life, that's not going to get you into heaven. There's only one that gets us in. His name's Jesus. And there's only one way that we can have faith in him, and that's through what he did at Calvary. It's important, folks. Without a cross, there is no grace. There is no light. There is no bread. There is no strength. It's all just pretending. It's all just pretend. The church is terrible. Let me just give you a good example that I gave in Wake Village Sunday night. The church, now this is convicting. This is very convicting. The church in America sits and listens to preachers, and even the preachers that preach, and every once in a while they say something about some kind of sin, and it hits home. It hits home. And you know what the church does today? Instead of repenting, they just have this little thing they do. Uh-oh. Uh-oh. I hear it all the time. I said, I hear it all the time. When something comes out and it's just like piercing, and it's like dealing with folks about something that's in their life, that's sin, instead of it breaking their heart, they just go, uh-oh. And it's like it's in unison across the congregation. Uh-oh. Listen, it better be a big uh-oh. It better be knock me to my knees. God help me. God forgive me. Lord, I need you. Uh-oh. Not just a robot. Not just a puppet. Uh-oh. And then that's it. It better be a broken heart over sin, because the cross is what it took to forgive us a sin. The cross is what it takes daily to keep us where sin's not dominating our lives. See, the church doesn't understand that Jesus only had to go once. They understand that, but they don't understand that you have to take yours up daily. And they don't understand that your daily cross, their daily cross, is faith in His cross. If they did, you wouldn't have all the mess that's out there today. We would never got drawn into a world of chaos. So you can learn something new. Thank God you can. And you're called to learn new things. There's a preacher in Florida. They still listen to me preaching because they're trying to tear me down. I posted one of my messages, and somebody else in this church posted it. And because they're still friends with them, but they ain't my friend on Facebook, they posted on that message and said, "This is confusing and what else? This ain't nothing but a mixture and confusing." And the reason they're saying that is because they don't believe in a daily cross. They don't believe in sanctification. It's that hyper grace garbage. But you know what? They're still listening to me preach. The devil chased Jesus all the way to Calvary just to get his head crushed. And the devil chases you around hoping for one thing, but because of a cross, the opposite happens. He gets reminded by the cross where he really stands in defeat as a known liar. I said a known liar. The cross reveals his schemes and his wiles and his lies for what they really are. Only the cross does that. Even reading out of the Bible and listening to a preacher talk about the devil, and you got to know his schemes and wiles, and he does this and he does that. Without a cross, you just listening to talk and you ain't never getting nothing. Because without a cross, you don't have any understanding. Even if you can tell me what I'm telling you, without a cross, you really don't know what you're talking about. That's why you and I can read books that men have written who don't know what we know, and we get more out of the book than they did, because they didn't understand what we understand. So we're reading their book, and we're getting, man, this revelation of the cross out of it, because scriptures are in there, and they had some good things to say, but they didn't even understand what they were saying. They were just saying what somebody else said. When you get in the river, it don't take somebody else. You got the Holy Ghost. When you get in the river, He's ministering truth to you every day. He's giving you daily bread, and you're living, and you're walking, and you're running this race, and you're ministering. Amen. Amen. I'm tired now. The Lord's been faithful to us. And as I said earlier, don't think about all the negative things about not taking up. What happens if you don't take up? Thank God for all the abundance of things He's given you because you have had faith. You put your faith in the cross of Christ. And it's not just a trip to heaven. Man, it's power right now. It's ministry right now. It's a marriage right now that resembles his relationship with the church. It's power. It's the anointing to train your children up in the way they should go. It's on your job. It's the light. It's on your job, the salt, the flavor. The power is for right now. This ain't about, man, we're going to get to heaven. We get there, we're not going to have any needs. We're in a needy place right now. We're needy, the world's needy, but we've got the answer. All we do, we just need more of it. They need it to begin with. I need more. Lord, I want more. I want more. And you know what? It's His will that whatever He's doing to increase it. There's no end to the increase of His kingdom. There's no end. That's why He wants to multiply grace in your life. That means, you know what? Because we know what God's grace is, it's not just mystical and magical. It's Him showing up to work. If He's going to multiply grace, and we know He wants to because the Bible tells us that, then that means He wants to multiply what He's doing in my life. And we sit back and say, how can that be? How can you multiply what you're already doing? And you know what He'll say? Just trust me. Believe me. Grace speaks. Grace teaches, don't it? Bible says in Titus, grace teaches. Grace, the Spirit of grace, the Spirit of God. The Lord told me the other night, He said, grace speaks and says, if you will take up your cross, I will be more than enough. See, that's the promise of God. Through the cross, He's more than enough. But the church doesn't like this. Because it's through loss that we gain. It's through weakness that we have power. And it's through suffering that we reign. See, it's the opposite from the way everything looks. Remember the cross. It's your best illustration from God. It looked like it was over, but it was just getting started. It looked like He was defeated, but He was defeating all of the enemy. So on your worst day, just deny yourself of that pity party and take up your cross and begin to praise God for the blood of Jesus. And God, watch God move in with peace that surpasses what you're able to even understand in your little feeble mind. Amen. He wants to multiply what He's doing in your life, and I just have to believe that. He wants to multiply what He's doing in this ministry, and I just have to believe that. If I didn't believe that, we'd have just stayed out there in Bloomberg. But we got to keep moving. We got to keep going because God's going to multiply. You know what He's going to multiply? Whatever it is He's doing. Stand with me tonight. Lord, we thank You tonight for Your word. We thank You tonight for allowing us to be here to hear it. We thank You, Lord, for allowing us to hear it that more than just with our physical ears, but with our hearts. Lord, that we would surrender to Your call, not to salvation, but to daily sanctification. That we would surrender to Your call to ministry. To whatever degree that might be, God, that if it's just, Lord, being here every week, every time the doors are open to be edification for the body and on our jobs being a witness unto You, Lord, and in the supermarket and wherever we're at, God, that we would be a testimony that every person that ever comes within our distance to meet us, to know us, that they would know one thing, that we love You and that we're about Your business. And Lord, I thank You that after 10 years of ministering and believing this message, I see that there's more believing it now than when I first believed. There's more believing it now. There's more preaching it now. You're raising up little churches. You're gathering your disciples, those who will take up a cross daily, those who will follow You. And Lord, we don't claim to be perfect. We know we're not. We don't claim that we never have problems. We know we do. But we know the answer. We know that by what You did for us at Calvary, we're complete in You. And we have power to live this life. And it's not just mystical imagination. It's You living in our lives, the one true God, by Your Spirit here to dwell, to empower, to anchor us to Yourself. Lord, I praise You for a people who are hungry and thirsty. I praise You, Lord, for a people who want to know more, who want to not just know something, but they want to know You more. They want to know more of You. I want to see just how deep and wide and high this love really is. They want to experience more of you than they ever have, God. And I know that because that's what's in their hearts, you're the one that put it there, that they're going to experience that. I thank you, Lord, for the increase in all of our lives personally, in our lives ministry, in this ministry, in all that you're doing, Lord, to show yourself strong on our behalf, blessing us, pouring out upon us blessings. And mainly, Lord, we're thankful for the blessings of your Son Jesus and how you're teaching us about him, speaking to us through him, teaching us about who you are by allowing us to look upon his face to see your fullness, Lord. Lord, we just lift up those who couldn't be here tonight, and we ask you to bless them. We ask you to bless all those that watch by the internet who don't have a place to gather. We ask you to raise up ministers all over this nation, God, that you'd have your way. We thank you, Lord, for loving us like you do, continually teaching us like you do. Lord, we just confess, Lord, tonight that we're yours. We belong to you. We ask you to use us and to have your way. Hallelujah. If you need prayer tonight, I want you to come.